Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast, episode 121. My name is Freddie Claude. The Six Nations is back, ladies and gents. And also, of course, for the 121st time, so is Archie Curzon. How are you, sir? You're roaring?
The chat is back.
The chat's back?
The C.H.A.T. The chat is back.
The return of the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
That's the kind of thing I say in the office when I go away on holiday. I come back and I just come out the escalator and I ring the bell because we have a bell for all the sales we do, and I just ring it and everyone thinks I'm about to announce the sale, but I just announced that the chat is back. The
chat's
office.
Back, yeah. And do they like that?
Chat's back.
Does that get them up?
I just shout it through. Chat's back, guys. James, come out the kitchen. That's it. Yeah, I'm just saying, the chat is back.
And right, he must love that.
All their faces light up, yeah. And I'll ring it again, and I'll be like, enough fun, let's go back to work. Let's absolutely melt these phones and get the deals in. I'll normally then send, like, when I come back, I'll normally just send a message round to the office saying, 10:30 to 11:30, we're doing a power hour. Okay. We're melting these phones. Get your list up. We're going, baby. Well, the chat is back in capital letters on the teams.
Well, we haven't really checked in on your progress for Q1. How's it been? Obviously, market's getting a bit stronger.
It's tough out there, Cloders. Yeah. The economy is definitely taking a hit. But yeah, there are deals to be had. Okay. And I'm having them.
You are?
Yeah. Yummy, 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 yummy. I'm eating them all. But yeah, no, it's going well.
Yeah.
Q1 is strong so far. And I'm predicting a even stronger Q2.
Right, okay.
And
you heard it
I'm
first.
Forecasting an even stronger Q3.
Well, we should get you into government.
And I'm even further forecasting heavy showers of deals on Q4. So right. Yeah, it's going
to
be a lot
to look forward to.
I'm going to make a lot of money this year. Good. And it's scary to think because it's the equivalent of sort of the amount of like 20 to 30 people in Yorkshire make the amount of money I make in a single
year. Sort of average salary, yeah, 30 people,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you must have a lot
with great power comes great responsibility, and you know, it's you have to find a way to spend it because you don't want the taxman getting it.
No, you really don't. We're talking about power,
I just expense everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
Yeah, we've got a very good accounting department at work.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're very good at expenses.
We're talking about power, talking about responsibility. Obviously, the Six Nations is back this week.
And yes!
Talking about money.
Six Nations is back. Give me a high five.
Talking about money.
Well, no, it was. I'm just saying, I'm very excited.
Yeah,
it,
of course
really
you are.
It really does make the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Just quickly, because talking about power responsibility.
Give me one more high five.
Talking about power responsibility.
Six Nations, Cloners. Come on.
Talking about power responsibility, talking about money, talking about you making, you know, the average wage of 30 people up north.
Yes.
Probably 30 people in Wales. The Welsh team are on strike.
Yeah,
it's like we're back in the 1980s under Thatcher. What's going on?
Well, those are the good old days. Let me tell you, my dad has very fond memories of Thatcher.
Yeah.
But yeah, fair enough. The boys in Wales aren't getting paid what they think they should be getting paid. And they've gone to the boardroom and said, listen, knock, knock, knock. Guys, pay us or we're not playing.
So you're supporting the strikers? I never thought I'd hear that come at you, man.
Well, it's difficult. I support rugby and I support rugby players. I'm a semi-pro rugby player and I know what it's like. You put your body on the line every weekend and, you know, these poor guys are just professional rugby players. They don't have the privilege to go and work in the city like me.
No.
You know, I'm a semi-pro. I get all the benefits of the rugby world, but on Monday to Friday, you know, I'm making coin arch.
Yeah.
Saturday, I just turn up, I look good, I play rugby, I take a few hits in the body, but, you know, I know I'm going to have enough to retire.
And the Welsh guys probably don't have the public school background to be able to go into
No, well, we've seen that. You know, we've had Rhys Priestland on the podcast,
yes.
And remember how bad his chat was?
Yeah, it was really
bad. It was terrifying, actually.
Well, it feels...
Poor guys, and my heart goes out to the Welsh, because it is, you know, it is a beautiful country. You know, I've been shooting that. and it's beautiful.
Well, it feels like with
the people I was shooting with, they're actually English, but they've had land there for years and years.
I was about to say,
years.
I can't
they're
imagine
in a
the
massive block of land. Yeah, you wouldn't even know they're Welsh.
Okay, well,
they speak the Queen's English.
It feels like with the cost of living crisis, with the Welsh players striking, with everything going wrong, even you saying the economy is hard to tackle at the moment. I thought, with everything going on and everyone really struggling, why don't we give back to our thousands of listeners? And so I got in contact with Beer52 and I said, lads, any chance you can give our listeners a free case of beer? They said, not a problem.
Mate, that is actually quite a good idea.
Yeah, so how does
mate.
It...
Mate. That is, well done, Cladis. Yeah, that's actually really kind, mate.
How does a free case of beer sound?
Oh, mate. Yeah.
To celebrate the Six Nations, our pals at Beer 52 are now offering you a free case of delicious craft beer. Simply go to www.beer52.com/rigbeers, cover the meager postage cost of $5.95, and you get a free case of 8 craft beers, plus a lovely selection of free little snacks. And don't worry, I've checked. They're not crisps. They're nice little high... Archie, why don't you open that box and have a quick look?
It's a challenging box to open, but it is, it's very well wrapped. Let me just open the lid. Wow. Okay, I've got a bit of lash in here. I've got some corn, that's actually very good protein, and some fava beans, which again is high in protein and fiber, so that is brilliant.
That's good news.
Selection of beers. I'll just take the first one out. The Quest for Coin.
The Quest for Coin. You're joking. You're not even joking.
God, that's actually quite good fun. So yeah, sounds great.
So you get all these different lagers. And
you go back to reading it.
Well, I know you don't like those dark beers. You prefer lagers, you prefer corn, you prefer those nice little hoppy IPAs and stuff. If you like those, you can just go for the hoppy IPAs or the lagers. You can, you know, miss out on the black. You know, more lash. We should have got more lash in there. We still can, I'm sure.
Yeah. Can you put a note down to write to them?
Yeah, I'll write to them. So if you guys want to get involved, Beer 52 is the biggest beer club in the world. Each month, their beer experts carefully create a case of incredible beers just for you from all around the world. If dark beer's not your thing, as we said, you can choose the light-only case. So you can learn all about the beers, breweries, and regions in their incredible magazine and the wonderful snacks, which Archie, you seem to be enjoying. How good are those fava beans?
No, that corn is to die
for. Oh, you're on the corn.
Those roasted corn kernels are phenomenal. Well, some of the best kernels I've ever had.
Well, guys, obviously get involved.
You don't see enough kernels about these days.
No, you really don't.
There was a period about 5 years ago where you see kernels on every shelf in the supermarket, but no, they're delicious. Well, they're delicious corn kernels.
Well, obviously people won't be heading to Twickenham this week because it's out in Wales. So, guys, you'll obviously be getting your mates around the house and getting lashed. So why not get a free case of beer, 8 beers, plus all the wonderful snacks and a Ferment magazine as well. So even if after all that you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel any time. But, guys, go get your free case of beer right now. Just click in the link in the podcast notes or go to beer52.com/rigbiz to claim your free case now. That's beer52.com/therigbiz. So actually, the guest this week on the podcast is a man who tweeted a tweet which went viral 2 weeks ago saying, "What does I hope this find you well even mean?" The whole rugby world picked it up and they sent it on to us. We posted it. We got a lot of interaction in it. And it's obviously ex-South African Springbok international, Clemore Champions Cup winner, Fleep van der Merwe.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, he's now a businessman. I hope you're ready to go and teach him the ways of business.
No. I'm ready. I don't know if you've realised over the years we've been doing this, but I've got a way with the South Africans.
Yes.
It's a bit of a charm offensive and they normally absolutely love it. Hopefully this interview will lead us to the ultimate interview, which is a Bakkie Spota, because apparently, you know, me and him exchanging banter, it would create fireworks.
ITV7 still interested?
Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, I've got a meeting in 2 weeks time, Curzon and Botha in the bush having banter.
Sounds a bit dangerous.
No, it should be good. But I guess there's only one thing to say. It's Philip Hazetbru.
Fuck off.
Here he is.
Sorry. Welcome. Welcome to the banter room.
Banter room. Is that the banter room?
Your hair is looking amazing, Philippe. Have you changed it?
It's the yeah. Well, I don't have to push my head between two bums, so it looks good.
I bet you missed that. I love doing that on weekends.
I do. Do miss a bit of bum sweat on my shoulder.
Yeah, there's nothing like a bit of, I mean, I play semi-pro, Philip, but I was saying to the guys this weekend, there's nothing better than a bit of bum sweat and a beer after a game. If you can do them at the same time, you're living the dream.
But you play fly half. Why was your head between two?
I just like getting in the mix after the game, like getting the guys bend over and just getting that bum sweat on.
He's a fly off. That's what they do.
Yeah. And I like, there's nothing better than just, you know, getting in the mix after the game. I don't want to get in the mix during the game.
No.
I'm running the stuff. I'm running that line. But after the game, when we've won, I love just to get everyone. I said, bend over, and then get everyone to bend over. Get and I'm just getting that. Rah. Yeah, it's lovely.
Well, Fleet, where are you joining from today? Because I know, obviously, South African by heart, and you play for the Springboks. But are you living in France nowadays?
I still am. I am in a town called Biarritz.
Oh,
on the south west coast.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, Winter on Biarritz. But
you're not far from San Sebastian. I've taken a few clients there for some lovely Michelin star meals. Great cuisine.
Yeah,
great
just over the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Very, very good. It's like, yeah, I'm 20 minutes away from San Sebastian. Oh, that's exactly so.
Phenomenal.
Best place.
Wow.
Best place.
I'm telling you what, I can just tell you're doing well in life. You're a high net worth individual.
But you are obviously now retired from the game. You work in the private sector. In innovation and strategy, I've seen. Now,
exactly.
You're supposedly sat face-to-face with the greatest businessman of his generation and Archie Curzon. Have you guys come across each other in the business world? Are we talking about Michelin Star lunches?
I haven't connected with Philippe yet on LinkedIn, but soon after this podcast, so we'll be connecting and hoping that my connection does find you well and that things at your company are progressing positively, because I think that is really important when you first connect with someone.
Well, you did. Yeah. You recently tweeted, Philippe, that you didn't understand something, which will enrage Archie even further. When you tweeted, "What does find you well even mean?" Archie, can you quickly explain? But I mean,
yeah. It's understandable. You know, Philippe probably hasn't been in the business world as much, you know, as long as I've been in, but yeah. Since the inception of the city and working, finding you well is just a brilliant thing, because when someone emails me and says, "I hope this email finds you well," and it actually does, it is a really fuzzy feeling. It's like opening up a Christmas present and actually getting what you want. Obviously, yeah, sometimes...
Were you hidden? How does an email find you? Like, doesn't look for you.
No, it just comes. Sometimes when you're BDing as much as I do, you know, sometimes that client is hidden, and then all of a sudden, you know, you send a blanket email to a number of high net worth individuals. Bam! It finds them well, and they're ready to chat. Do you want to do lunch? Yep, let's do it. Then you meet them, handshake, look them in the eyes, squeeze, show them the Rolex. Buy them lunch and the deal's done.
Find them well. Yeah. Find them well. I hear you. I just have no... I've never had business refused because my mail didn't find them well.
It's interesting. I mean, I do think it'd be worth you coming to Clapham in the summer for my AAA, BBB, CCC course. We help a lot of young business professionals become high net worth individuals. We talk about the three C's: having good chat, having a phenomenal chassis, and then that will equal you making a lot of coin.
That makes sense.
Butch James, by the way, came on this podcast, and he's already signed up for it, and he said he thinks it could help his media career even more. So, you know, you do the math.
Butchie already has he's got all three C's already.
Well, the chassis could do with some work.
We're doing the dadbot thing now, the after rugby session. We should make that a thing. ARC.
ARC.
But after rugby, you said you were going to get a better chest because you didn't have to carry
the weight. I'm going to really get into CrossFit. I'm going to cut down from, because I'm bulking at the moment because I play rugby. You know, you've got to put on a bit of timber, and I'm going to bulk down, and then there'll be a lot more topless photos of me drinking like vodka in like hot places. Yeah. We did also, just because I know he listens, Matt Stevens has also been on the podcast, and we did offer him to come, but he said that he enjoys Marlboro Reds too much, and he said he's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay, yeah. No, Matt Stevens, he could be patron of the ARC.
Yes, yeah. Maybe that is that sort of rival business. I might invest in that a little bit. Maybe like a little, but no one really knows.
If you're too skinny, then people, it's like, you know, the human nature is like, if you're too skinny, people think you're poor.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a little bit like just, you know, well endowed in both places. It's like men who like girls with big booties. They think they can bear a lot of children.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same with if men are a little bit bigger, then, you know, I think you're rich.
We have a saying over here in Clapham that if you're too skinny, it's likely you play hockey and you've also probably got terrible banter and probably drink flavoured cider. So we asked them to leave the bar ASAP.
Freddie is like, he's guilty drinking cider.
Yeah, well, Freddie's a bit of an anomaly. I've sort of taken him in from the streets. He's a failed musician, and now he's got an earring, which I've tried to get him
to remove.
He's from the arts world, but I've said, listen, come with me. I'm sort of, you know, it's a slow
burn.
You'll
tease me, rugby.
One day we'll shave off that beard and get you in a suit, and I think, you know, you'll make you'll make 50 grand a year, which is good for you.
Is that a guitar? Is that a guitar in the background?
That is a guitar, yeah. We have
it's like the intro. Do you do the intro jingle yourself?
Yeah.
He does all the jingles. He's bloody good at jingles.
We've had a Christmas top 10 hit.
We've had a Christmas top 10 hit for the
UK charts.
The Restart Rugby. We had it here. We had
all right.
A number of people. James Haskell.
Kersey.
Kersey.
Yeah. Benders.
Benders. Nick Amendon came on and did was naked, which is great. He had fortunately, he had a bit of skinny chassis, actually.
Yeah, he was looking quite skinny.
But I think, you know, that's playing in Pro Due 2. Yeah. You know, you're not probably on much coin.
The town he lives in, there's probably no restaurants.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's funny at Turf. I have offered him a contract over here in Clapham, but he said he likes Tremage. So
Clapham's got the nightclub with it's got carpet inside.
Oh, Infernos. What a place.
Have you been there?
It's good. It's soft on the knees.
Let's take you back to your school days, Philippe, because you attended Grey College, which is widely seen as the greatest rugby school in the world. A school with such rich traditions and, you know, producing such great players surely has a great initiation, because we've heard and we've had a lot of great South Africans on here and they've told us about the different, you know, Pile Gym and all that kind of stuff, the different initiation. What does Grey College have in store for its first 15 players?
Very prim and proper school, you know, so it's no crazy stuff. It's nothing like the cricket lads, you know. I know the cricket lads, they have like the bananas and, you know, eating bananas from each other's asses and stuff like that.
That sounds great.
But the rugby, I think, you know, it's probably something physical. You know, you get a few slacks or gain or something, you know, to get through. But I'll think about it. But I can't remember that we did anything horrible.
Weird, the cricket's more matchy than rugby, because.
Yeah, I mean, I love that idea of eating bananas from each other's bumhole. I think that's very macho. I might have to bring that into my rugby team. One thing you've got to understand is what Philippe might have experienced, he might have blacked out.
Yes.
So he might have erased it from him. When you experience trauma that, you know, sometimes you block it out your mind.
You know, remember, we Afrikaans boys, we're very, very humble. And, you know, very do the right thing at the right time. So I didn't touch alcohol for the whole of my high school career.
Really?
It was just, you know, was wrong, you know. Jesus was watching me, so, you know, I wasn't allowed to.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, he is everywhere.
he's still everywhere.
He'd be a bloody good businessman. Yeah. He'd be able to get tucked into all the deals.
Well, you know, when you did leave school, obviously you joined the Cheetahs and you had an incredibly impressive first 2-3 years with them. Before then going, enough's enough, I want to go more high profile. You moved to the Bulls. But quite a risky move at first, because you're fighting for a spot in the team with two of the greatest second rows in the history of rugby, in Bakis Botha and Victor Matfield. We've heard from previous guests, they're terrifying individuals, especially Bakis. What's the scariest thing you sort of remember both of them doing?
The most terrifying thing about Bakis is probably playing in the same team as him, because friendly fire is a definite thing. You're inside a ruck and Bakis, he just tries to move the whole ruck somewhere. You know, so if you're in there, you feel it as well. But, you know, hats off to those two lads, especially Victor as well. You know, I got in there, as you said, you know, the if you think in a rational decision way to go to the Bulls was probably the stupidest thing for me, because, you know, you had Bakis, you had Victor, you had Donnie Rousseau there. There was a guy called Willem Steenkamp who was in the main seat at the time playing there as well. John De Kruger was there. You know, there's a bunch of locks, and I said, you know, I want to join the party. Probably mostly because when I played at the Cheetahs, I was on a semi-pro contract. I didn't have a pro contract. I was working for a firm called Sunlum back in the day.
What do they do, just out of interest?
Sorry?
What did they do, just out of interest, that company?
Sunlum is an investment house. So you see them around, and I think they're one of the Saracens sponsors as well. You'll see them.
So I'll
write that down, because I want to connect with them.
Yeah,
we'll probably have a lot of people in common.
Sunlam.
Yeah, they're probably. Yeah. Do you know Al Hargreaves?
Yeah.
He'll be able to introduce us.
Okay.
So I was you know, pretty much semi-pro, and then they called me. My old university coach actually called me up one day and asked me, you know, what the hell am I doing? Am I keen on giving it a try at the Bulls? And they gave me a 6-month contract at the back of 2009. And as the good lads say, the rest is history. Yeah.
We had Butchie on last year, and one thing I'm trying to pitch to a TV channel over here, ITV6, is a reality TV show where me and Bakis Botha go out to the outback and just spend quality time together. And Butch said that maybe I might last half a day. How much do you think Bakis would enjoy my chat?
Yeah, like half an hour.
Half an hour. Okay, that's interesting.
That'd be a short episode.
I think it would be a bloody good TV show.
That could be the TV show.
Yeah.
See how long Bucky's lost.
Yeah.
It's like the call center people that try and keep you on the line for a minute.
Maybe it's like a reality TV show. People call in and you have to just guess the time and then you win the money. And it'd be okay. Write that down. That's a good idea. Yeah. We must connect with Bucky's.
With Victor Matfield, apparently he loved to drink. I mean, almost to the point where it was dangerous. Did you ever see any sort of naughty behavior from him after getting loose? We heard some stories about him on the Barbarians, but in South Africa or for the Bulls?
He enjoys a good drink. He's an incredible hard worker. Like even now after rugby, you know, he's still, you know, he's got some CEO job somewhere as well. Incredible hard worker, but you know, live hard, play hard. I think it's one of the Clapham rules as well.
Yeah, I've got that tattooed on my arm.
Go very hard on the beer and shift to the brandy and colas, and that's about it. Nothing more than that. We all in bed by 12.
Well, I mean, talking about South Africa, let's go back to your career because obviously you managed to continue to impress at the Bulls after that 6-month initial sort of trial contract. Going from semi-pro, which was always your dream to go semi-pro to international.
Too obviously much never. Money in the city. Can't.
Yeah, okay. But you ended up making your debut for South Africa in 2010 against France. Can you give us your memories of that day on the pitch?
Yeah, good story again. So, you know, played a little bit of Super Rugby 2010. Obviously went well enough so that I caught a little bit of attention to the national selectors. And they had like this random warm-up match in that year. June 2010, they played Wales in a summer test in Wales, actually, which never happens. But so how the process obviously goes, before they select the squad, there's like a random guy gives you a call, you have to send your passport because you're South African, you're the green mamba, you have to get all these visas and stuff sorted out. So that's the first time it actually, you know, someone triggered something in me that, geez, like, these guys actually, the Springboks called me to give my passport. You know, that was probably the biggest point of my career back then. You know, it's like... But then didn't get selected for the first thing. So, you know, roller coaster. And I went on holiday in Namibia, down to Swakopmund. I don't know if you guys know Namibia, but great place. It's like the ocean and the desert and the dunes get together. It's like a very, very mystical place.
Sounds like Cornwall.
Basically, just warmer.
Yeah.
with the sun included. We were busy on a great afternoon session, like drinking brandies on top of a dune, and like my phone didn't stop ringing, like ring. It's like the Blue Bulls manager calling me, and then there's like this random guy number calling me, and I don't, you know, and I'm like on holiday. Like, guys, you know, I want to enjoy my holiday. Nothing's good, and we're getting ready to watch Springboks actually play that, and it's the Saturday morning before Springboks play Wales. And then it actually came to the front that it was the Springbok manager trying to call me, telling me, listen, yeah, you have to be in Cape Town on Monday. Now you must remember that Namibia, although it'd be being next door to South Africa, I was 1,800 kilometers away from Cape Town. It's like right down the coast. I got off the brandies and you know, not straight away because I'm a responsible human, but started driving to go back down to Cape Town. And I joined up the team that Sunday evening. So when they flew back from Wales, joined up with them. And then the rest of it was probably a blur. So I went from not being in the story, being on holiday, getting down to Cape Town, realized what it means when you get into an international setup, because obviously I didn't take my boots or any rugby kit with me on holiday. So when everyone heard I was going to join the Springboks, you know, you had Adidas calling up, yeah, can we send your boots there straight away? All that type of things, you know. So everything arrived there in my room. I was like on top of the world. So, and the rest of it went pretty fast. Even managed to get a yellow card in my first game. Obviously, it wasn't me, but got a card, and was lucky enough to I did something that you know won some confidence with the coach back then, and I stayed in the squad for the rest of the year.
And Philip, we have quite a lot of young listeners here at the Rugbiz podcast, and I think it's a really valuable message to tell them. You know, a lot of them will be starting to drive this year, and what we'll say is, look, don't drink drive unless it's really, really important. then get in the car and make sure you get there, because it's, you know, you don't want to miss out. I get it. So yeah don't drink drive for the sake of drink driving, but if something's really important, like
money in the line, big job.
Well, if someone says there's a really good party and it's only half an hour, get in the car and do it.
Yeah. If your country needs you, you have to do it.
This is a snippet from Archie Curzon's motivational CD-ROMs for the Italian rugby union team.
Buona fortuna! That means good luck in Italy. Come on, boys, it's all about look good, play good. Shave your legs, because we're going into battle.
Capizzo, put down your PlayStation controller, get in the gym. It's time to get up for it. Let's take these orange ducks down.
Stephen Barney, do it for all the Barneys in Italy. Come on! Tomas Olan! We believe, but seriously, let's go for a gale soon. I'd love to chat to you. Ireland think this is going to be a freebie. It's not! You've got cuisine and culture. All they've got is silly fiddles and potatoes. Let's take them down!
Daniel Piccina Critini! Come on! Swift, rock, ball, push, heave!
Federico Ruzia! I don't know you, but I like saying that name. Do it for Italy and also do it for Jack Severetti!
Ciao Bella!
Pelletri, it's time to pull on your big boy man to pull in a shift. Let's go!
Heave! Abala d'Italiano!
Luca Barrazzi! By the way, Andy Farris says your shit. I heard it on the grapevine. Prove it wrong!
Uno, dos, tres! Let's do this for Italy. Let's do this for everyone around the world who enjoys pizza and pasta. Parma ham, buffalo and mozzarella, burrata with rockets and big tomatoes and balsamic vinegar. Let's get them, boys.
Wipe it up with that bruschetta. We're going into battle.
I'll be there. In Rome. Champagne at the ready. Ready to party. Let's put in a shift, boys.
Who had the honour of whipping you for the Springbok initiation?
Bacchus Bretta himself.
Oh God, what was that like? Come on,
I'd love to experience that.
Yeah, it doesn't have great timing though, so it's just brute force that hits you. You know, like the headmasters that you feared the most were the guys with the great golf swing timing. You know, it didn't look like something, but it smacked. Bacchus was just pure force. So I think that's my hip problem started when he hit me.
I actually think for that TV show, what we could do is Bacchus could give me the initiation and I could give him the Clapham Falcons initiation, which involves a toothbrush up the bottom, and, you know, see if he enjoys that.
Just compare that.
Yeah. I doubt.
Write it down, because that's a really good idea. That's how we can start the TV show.
Second.
You go first, I'll go second.
Obviously, getting called up to play for your country, representing your country, is the greatest honour a man could ever get. But obviously, growing up, we always want to impress our parents, especially our fathers. You followed in your father's footsteps, and he was also a Springbok international. What are your memories of when you were a kid? Do you remember any of him sort of being a big deal playing rugby, or did you kind of miss it? Because obviously we all want to bring a smile to our father's face.
So obviously we had this funny thing when my dad played, you know, they apartheid was still in full swing, so they weren't allowed. So he played, his first game for the Springboks was 1981 and his last one, 89. And he only played 6 test matches.
What position was he?
He was tight head prop.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a big human. There's a big debate between him and another guy being the heaviest Springbok ever.
Wow.
How much was it? Wow. How much did he weigh?
Do you guys work in kilograms or kgs pounds of stone?
Oh, I use my kettlebells in kgs, so it's probably better to use that.
Well, so he was 136 kgs.
136. Wow. Okay, so that's like 15 reps in the bench press, maybe.
Yeah, so that's what's that? 260. More than 280 pounds already.
Yeah. 280 pounds. Okay, yeah, so 10 reps in the bench press, mate.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. Are you related to the other Van der Mervers? I mean, are you guys one huge, distant, amazing rugby family?
No. Van der Mervers is a pretty, it's like a Jones in Wales. It's a pretty common surname.
My dream when I was at school was to move to Cape Town, find a South African chica, and then start a family, change my name to Archie Van der Chat, and just start a bloodline of Van der Chats through South Africa.
Yeah, it would work.
Yeah. It's not too late. It didn't happen. No, it got it. You know, the life got in the way of that dream. It's annoying.
Sidetracked.
Yeah, but if anyone. If anyone's out there, listen, we've got a large South African contingency listening to the podcast. We if anyone's out there, go and do it, please. Or if anyone can find anyone who's a Vander Chat in South Africa, please let me know. I'd love to meet them.
Surrounding your international career, obviously you were still doing well in, domestically before you moved over to Europe. You won the Currie Cup Super Rugby title with the Bulls in 2009-2010. Can you tell us which was the better celebration? Who out of that Bulls team was the best on the piss?
2009 in the Currie Cup was pretty awesome for me. Because locally the Currie Cup carries a lot of weight, but it was a good one. It was a good celebration, and I thought it was probably like the peak of celebrations until I arrived in Clermont, and obviously the 2017 where the one afternoon celebration went on for 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, just take us through your memories of 2017. We were going to get there later, but
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah, I was around.
Did you see Flea?
No, because they were in the distance, but I travelled all the way down.
The 2017 one was so good. It started with a... Because you play the final in Paris, and we have about a three-hour train drive down from Paris. It was like a booze train, like, you know, one wagon full of booze, and you just... You know, you can do whatever you want. You know, you can't move for 3.5 hours. You just have to sit and drink beers and just go on. You know, it's pretty decent. And then we got back in Clermont-Ferrand. The whole town is like in this, like a town in the middle of the town square, and the whole town is waiting there for you. I think it was about 15,000 or 17,000 people waiting on the town square. And, you know, you stand there like, you know, like zoo animals and lift the trophy and people cheer, and that's great. And then that was the Monday we got back. And I think the first time I got home was the Wednesday afternoon. I had to go take a shower we presented to the mayor of the town. We presented the trophy. I thought, geez, yeah, I'd probably just have to go look a little bit proper.
Was Yatto in the team? Was he in the team?
He sang in front of the whole crowd. Yeah,
he's one of my favourite rugby players on social media. Just an extraordinary human being.
Obviously, you joined a couple of years before winning the top 14. You joined in 2015. You were sort of frustrated by not being picked again for the Springboks, and you said, time for a change. Let's go to France. Why not? But were you slightly shocked by the change in professionalism over there? Because apparently it's still quite backwards compared to England or even South Africa. Lots of red wine, rich food, cigarettes, overtraining, and, you know, we've heard from previous
cigarettes, definitely. Yeah. Cigarettes, I think. You know, even in South Africa, we used to enjoy the casual smoke every now and then to show you cool the cigar with all your trophies. Yeah. But then in France, they do like do the stress smoke, like almost like, you know, rugby makes them stress and they smoke like a few a day. So it was pretty. But in terms of professionalism, I think, well, I can't speak for all the clubs, but Clermont-Ferrand was probably more professional than any other club I played in terms of people they had around. And I think, you can ask Bendy as well. He would probably agree in terms of setup.
How good was Benders that year?
Fuck me. How good is he? How's he still playing? He's like 45.
He needs the cash. But I think this is his last year. I think he's retiring. This is it.
He said that 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He'll keep going.
I told him, come and play for the Clapham Falcons and I'll get you a job in the city, you know?
Insurance broker.
He then said to me, he's not into nepotism. I said, look, I'm not that way inclined. I'm not into having sex with guys.
Well, obviously you eventually did retire after some incredible years in France. And then you decide to come to England and study at the prestigious Cambridge University alongside another friend of the show, James Horwell. 20 years
that
old.
That guy's got a lot of cash.
Yes, he's got a lot of cash.
My dream would be to go to university at this age now. I mean, I'd clean up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, now I've got the experience that the, my chat is like next level.
Also be nice.
My chat was good when I was at uni.
Yeah.
But if I went to like Cambridge, like I've got business chat, I've got rugby chat, I've got like Clapham chat, I've got it all. All the cheekers.
It'd be nice for you to go to like a decent uni as well. You went to Bristol, UE.
My CV it says Bristol.
Right, okay. Well, that's lying.
Yeah. But it's difficult because we're older, you get a little bit more deaf, so you can't hear what they're saying.
But my tactic at uni was always to say to the cheekers, listen, why don't we go back to my room and watch a DVD? Now we've got Netflix now, so there's so much options to watch stuff. So
yeah.
Because I only had Living with the Lions on DVD at uni, and girls weren't really into that. But now we can go back and be like, do you want to watch?
You couldn't. You know, these days, university, it's a different ballgame these days. Back in the day, it was a compliment if you tried to chat to a girl. These days, you know, there's human rights and stuff. So
yeah, well, I normally get them to sign a contract before I go in for a chat. I say, sign this, because they don't want to get sued. And then I just...
Send your attorney.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll sit them down and say, listen, guys, I've got over 75,000 followers on Instagram. And then I say, just watch all my content. It'll take you a couple of hours and then come back to me. And if they come back, I know they're good.
Yeah, yeah. Do they ever come back?
NDA.
Sometimes they don't, because it does take 2 hours to watch the content. So they rarely come back. Well, they never complete the 2 hour test.
Right, okay.
Which is a stress test. It's like the SAS. They've got to survive the 2 hour test to get in to meet me. Yeah. And then,
never do.
You know. And then I give them the vibrator.
Maybe
which I've talked about
test.
In the podcast. My sexual move, I just go on top of them and then bam, they're in love. And I say, no, stay back, stay back.
Philippe, obviously you'd had over 30 caps for Africa. James Hall had captained Australia. Did they still make you do the initiation at Cambridge?
So I think the initiation over there is like you had to drink, like you'd have to down like two beers or something. So, you know, it was like a normal Wednesday afternoon initiation. But you know, it was all very prestigious. Coming up to the varsity match, they all get very stressed, you know. And they try and make me and James understand the greatness of the game and understand, you know, we're going to Twickenham, you know. And I think they missed a little sense that both me and James actually played a few times in front of a full Twickenham.
Yeah.
For the record, you know, we have to say this, as this is live from Clapham, never lost on Twickenham to this day.
No. And to be fair, that's why I respect you and wanted to get you on the pod. And I actually must say, you must have done very well at Cambridge, because if you've got a double barrel name, you normally do quite well at those prestigious, you know, of universities.
And he's got a triple.
Jay's got a triple name, so yeah.
I've got so many names.
Who was the dirtiest player you ever played against in your career? Because obviously you were known as quite a dirty player. You said you got a yellow card in your debut. You were banned for 3 weeks for punching Waratahs prop Paddy Ryan in the face once. First,
yeah, he deserved it, to be fair.
What did he say?
No, he was just being a nuisance.
Yeah, and I think actually that's fair for the kids as well as drink driving. If someone is being a dick, just take them out.
Yeah, probably. Kids these days, you know, it's a tough one to say. You probably should structure it better, but you need to learn how to punch and how a punch feels.
Yeah,
you know, if everyone knows how a punch feels, then you'll stop being such a big dick in the world outside. You know that someone walking around can actually punch you. You'll stop moaning about not having cheese on your bread. You know?
I've got to say, you know, I went to boarding school since I was 7, and you know, I learned that the hard way. You know, my head of dorm, Gleb Koshelev, who was a Russian guy, on my first night whipped me with a coat hanger and also locked me in a cupboard. And I learned very quickly not to be a dick. And now, you know, a lot of people I meet, majority of people say I'm not a dick because I've just got really good chat and I'm a really nice guy. So I learned my lesson.
Well,
so,
thank you, Glenn. Gleb.
Gleb Koshelev. Who I think now is quite high up in Putin's army.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so
he's head of Wagner now.
Yeah. Well, he got a good education.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He did other things with a hockey stick, but I won't go into it too much.
David Strettle. Mornay Stein.
Medium chat.
Bakis Bota.
No chat.
Victor Matfield.
Good chat.
Jamie Cudmore.
Average chat.
Skulk Burger.
Great chat.
Butch James.
Great chat.
Francois Hugard.
Fancy chat.
Brian Habana.
Good chat.
And Jean de Villiers.
Good chat.
Philippe Van der Merwe, we can't wait to see you in Biarritz with some cigars and some good Bordeaux.
Love and champagne, Philippe. Love and champagne.
Cheers. Merci beaucoup, les gars.
What an absolute legend.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you want to go back to university after those Cambridge tales?
Yeah. I mean, I love university. That's why, ultimately, I go to Infernos every weekend, because it just allows me to relive my university years.
Yeah.
There's just a uni atmosphere in there. It's electric. It's like... everybody has got this like uni mentality, but everyone's earning a shitload of money, so you can drink even more than you did at university.
So you're not doing this horrible like sour
even
shots
more
anymore.
Embarrassing. Yeah. And there's like no limit. No, at uni you could run out of money, but now we're all adults. You know, in our late 20s, early 30s, we're in Infernos. We're all on quite a lot of money. We're just keep them coming, and it is just it creates this atmosphere that is wild and electric. It's like the Wild West, but everyone went to a good school, so respects each other.
Oh, Archie, what has your daughter been up to this last week?
Oh, whoa. That's we bring this section back, really?
Yes, we are, mate, because everybody's been asking, what's going on with little Johnny Johnny? All the fans have been asking me to put it back in, so I put it back in. So tell us, Arch, what has been going on?
Well, you asked me this maybe 4 weeks ago. Nothing really has changed. She's still not talking, still not walking. If anything, I find her quite unladylike.
Why?
She just shits herself all the time, which is, you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think girls pooed until I had a daughter.
So Archie, Six Nations is back this weekend.
Yes.
Oh, another high five.
Of course. Give me one more. That's one a good more. High five.
Jesus, my hands early.
Where were you? I actually really enjoy a high five outside of the work environment.
Yeah.
Anyone high fives me at work, they're absolutely out the door.
Okay.
Well, that behaviour is disgusting. Even if you get a mega deal in, it is not acceptable. Firm handshake. Well done. Someone comes across to me and goes, just nailed the deal. High five. Be like, sorry. Where do you go to school?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, but Six Nations.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no,
I'm
I get
just
it.
Saying.
Six Nations.
But let's do it one more
one
time.
Time.
Boom. We're not. Well, I'm not at work.
No. So, yeah. Six Nations is back this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Big Can't rugby wait. Games on. I'm guessing you're going to be sat on your big L-shaped sofa with a couple of mates, the Falcon Boys, having a box of beer 52, 8 beers, 8 craft lagers, 2 snacks, and enjoying yourself. All free.
I will say, those roasted corn kernels were to die for.
Yep.
I'll be probably sinking the beer 52 on a Sunday, but Saturday, France, I'll be down Northcote Road. Just really absorbing the atmosphere. It's a well-known fact, Clodus, that when England play away, Northcote Road is really becomes the epicenter of English rugby.
Yep.
And there's a number of bars, pubs that show it, and it's just like one big Twickenham. Everyone knows Infernos is one of the best nightclubs in the world,
in
globally.
The world. Wow, okay.
But, you know, Archer Street Wine Bar is just a great place on those Six Nations weekends when you've had a few beers on Northcote Road and you just stumble in there and it's just full of beautiful people all dressed in really good clobber.
Singing
karaoke. I would say you see a lot of Ralph Lauren, you see a lot of Gucci, you just see the top brands on top people who have top basic salaries who are on top form. And it is very rare you see any dickheads in there. Anytime I've been in there, I've never seen a dickhead.
Well, let's
interesting. Interesting.
That is interesting. That is interesting. Yeah. But let's quickly.
Georgian places I drink and go to, I very rarely see any dickheads.
Well, you are in Clapham after all. Let's quickly get your predictions on the games. I'll quickly read them out and you say who's going to win.
Okay.
So let's start with Italy versus Ireland.
My heart says Italy.
Of course it does.
Because, you know, I've got an affiliation with the Italian team. A lot of people say I look Italian with my olive, you know, coloured skin, the way I hold myself,
your culture,
my hand gestures, and just my general way. Yeah, I hold myself.
But
my head says Ireland by 35.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Wales versus England in the Principality.
There's only one winner.
If they're not on strike.
There's only one winner. The England boys are prepared. Borthwick has got them ready to maul, and we will win by 15 points.
15 points. And finally into Paris, the most romantic city in the world, France versus the Scots.
Going with Scotland all
You're
the
going
way.
With Scotland.
Yeah. They're the country that have provided us with the most internationals on this podcast. And I'm going Scotland all the way. Scotland for the Grand Slam.
You heard it.
And I've been promised by Finn, if they do win the Grand Slam, he's coming on the pod.
That's amazing. Well, that's incredible news. Archie, I know you're incredibly excited about the weekend ahead, so I should probably let you go.
I am.
Mentally prepare yourself for another big Six Nations bash up and down the Northcote. But I've got a little note here, Arch, saying you want to finish with a song.
Yeah, get the guitar out. I'm ready to go.
I've been supporting England since I was young, and I still remember the World Cup that we won. But lately results haven't gone the way I want them to be.
So tell me what you want.
I want some champagne rugby that we can watch. I want Barbara and Jack Wills on the England top. I want some Marcus Smith aggressive attacking rugby.
So tell me what you need.
I need Borthwick to stop doing his rolling moles. I need him stop concentrating on his line-out calls. Cause I just wanna see some sexy attacking rugby.
But how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna go to Penny Hill and speak to Steve. I'm gonna make sure that he takes my lead. Cause we all just wanna see England play, especially when we're playing Wales away. It's time to get the boys to really play. It's not too late to change our way now. Listen to me, Steve, you gotta believe. I know that we just beat Italy, but I'm a semi-pro with a large basic salary, so please just fucking listen to me. I said, come on, it's time to change your way. I said, come on, let's play some champagne rugby. Oh, come on, England. I bloody love Nickelback. Big shout out.